Joining me on the Talk More podcast today is comedian Steve Ranazzisi. Did I get that right?
It's pronounced Smith.
Oh, sorry. I knew I was going to fuck that one up.
No, it's okay. No big deal.
You were at Cobb's Comedy Club last night, and then tonight, May 9th. Is today the 9th?
10th. Today's the 10th. Yeah.
And you'll also be there tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, the 11th.
Tickets still available?
I'm sure they are.
Cobbscomedy.com. But get them now, because I have a feeling you're going to sell out. I mean, you're a pretty funny motherfucker.
Thank you very much. I love coming to this place. I really do. Cobb's is one of the best comedy clubs in the country. I started at the Punchline, and another great comedy club. And I just, you know, the audience is built and grew. And so, yeah, I love coming back here and people supporting me.
Where are you from originally?
New York. Okay. Long Island, New York.
So how's the... Okay.
I know you can hear the filth in my... in my voice, the accent.
As far as like how your comedy is received or whatever routine you're doing, how is there a major difference between like a New York audience and maybe like a Bay Area audience, or is it just kind of universal, people laugh funny shit?
Well, depends. New York City and Bay Area,
no.
Long Island, New York and Bay Area, yes.
Okay, why?
Because Long Island's more like the working class, like like blue collar people are out there. You know, there's a lot of money out on Long Island too, but for the most part, the people that come to comedy clubs on Long Island are more blue class people, and they're not as offended by stuff.
Gotcha.
You know, whereas here you get a little bit of you get a little and a little offended here. People are a little woke-ish. And so, yeah, that New York City here, they're pretty much the same vibe.
I was doing a story on the show today about the fact that they said there's now one in every 11,600 people in the Bay Area is a billionaire.
One in every how many?
11,600
is a billionaire.
That seems low, right? Like, that seems insane.
Yeah, I would think those are the same numbers of like an STD, like an HPV, like one in 11,000 is HPV. I know it's way higher than that, but
it's like one in six, I think. But
so about 11,000 people will come to my shows this weekend in the Cobbs, you know, over the course of the five shows. And so one of you is a billionaire. And thank you to the billionaire who shows up this weekend.
I know. That blew my mind. New York was next on the list. But in New York, it was only like one in 80,000 people are a billionaire, which is...
Are you a billionaire?
Yeah.
Are you one of the...
Three times over.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why I do this
shit. I don't even
know
why you do talking to me.
It's for the love of the podcast.
For the love of the cast.
You get
folks.
It. You have a podcast as well.
I do.
Tell me a little bit about that.
It's called What's the Odds? And up until yesterday, I didn't even realize that that's grammatically incorrect.
It is. I read it and I was like, this guy's stupid.
Like, where's this guy from? Long Island, New York? What a dum-dum.
What's the odds?
It's really, what are the odds? Yeah. But it's What's the Odds is funnier to me. And also, I didn't even know it. So... it's a once a week podcast. We do it live on Wednesdays, right around 2-ish on the West Coast, 2 p.m. Okay. I'm part of the All Things Comedy team in Los Angeles. So, yeah, we talk sports, pop culture. I take phone calls.
Do you talk about betting on sports? Is that kind of
That's sort of the backdrop is betting. But, you know, we don't bet really. You're not going to.
I'm not
one of those guys
that's
like, hey, I'm Vegas Dave, and and you want the hard-hitting lines this week? I guarantee you winners. That's not what it's about.
No.
It's like, I think I'm so smart that I know everything, so I can literally bet on anything against anyone, and I'll win. So that's
Just sports. Like, what kind of stuff
like Game
you
of Thrones
on?
We're doing right now. We're doing a Game of Thrones death pool. So we drafted people from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
And then after we drafted them, they were given point values. So we didn't really know what the point values were. And now as people die, you get, you know, points for. And so I'm tied with the guy I do the podcast with, because, you know, and spoiler alert, Miss Andrew died last week. So,
that's why I don't watch Game of Thrones. I was going to ask you.
By the way, guess what?
What?
Neither do I.
Shut up. You do this death pool and you don't even watch the show?
I started watching last year because my wife's like, getting ready for, like, you know, last year was the first year that everyone was like, it's gonna end soon and I've gotta be prepared. I'm watching it. So it was like, it turned into like not just appointment television, but like must appointment, like on Sunday nights, shut everything down. So I was like, oh, I'll watch it too. And she's like, you can't watch it. That's what bothered me. You can't watch it. I go, why can't I watch it? Well, because it's been on for, you know, six seasons and you got to watch. I go, no, I don't. I go, I understand narrative. I'm in the business, okay? I understand how people, relationships, I can pick it up. Uh-huh. And right away, I was like, oh, I'm watching. I'm like, oh, the little guy doesn't like his brother and his sister, obviously, right?
And they're probably sleeping together.
And they are sleeping together, and that might be one of the reasons why they don't. And so, but, you know, and I'm figuring this stuff out. So mm-hmm. this season, I'm like, I got it.
What are the stakes? If you win the death pool, what do you get? Just bragging rights?
Bragging rights, and then we'll pull some, we'll have the audience decide. Like, we're running a half marathon in November.
Why would you do something like that?
Because I'm going to win. I don't know why. I just realized it's through trails and it's at night. It's going to be a nightmare. It's through Joshua Tree. I think the loser might have to dress as a Game of Thrones person of our choice and run the half marathon in.
Aren't some of those costumes like weigh 30 pounds?
Well, that's not my problem because I'm not going to lose.
You're going to win.
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of like half marathons and 5Ks? Are you
no,
that guy?
No, not at all.
So are you going to pass out halfway through?
No, I run. I mean, I do okay. this. I do Orange Theory. Have you ever heard of that?
Oh my God, you're that guy.
No, what, yes, do, you that guy? Yes. What do you mean that guy? You mean the guy that doesn't want to drop dead of a heart attack? Yeah,
that stupid guy.
No, I mean, I run like a couple miles a couple times a week. I'm not, this is going to be a nightmare. And I'll train for it. Maybe I'll start to run a little bit. Further distances, but I'm not going to go, you know, I'm not like a person that's like, I'm going to do it in 1 hour and 20 minutes, even though my only goal is to beat the other people that I'm going with.
Well, that's all the motivation you need. You don't need to set yourself a time. You just need to set yourself up against other people that are slower.
Yeah, exactly. And how this whole thing started for me, I'm not a competitive runner, but I ran a 5K with my wife.
Oh, did you beat the pants off her?
Well, no, I thought we were just having a jog before we went, a 5K jog, and then we're going to go to breakfast. Right around the last 200 meters, she takes off from me.
Oh.
And I'm going, what's going on? And then at the end, she starts posting scores on Facebook and times. I go, what? I didn't know. So I told her, I go, I promise you, I'll never let you beat me again, ever, in any sort of race we ever have. Ever, ever, ever.
Game on.
Ever.
How did she respond to that?
Scared. I think she was scared.
Really?
She was frightened by
that. Is she pretty fast, though? Do you think that she...
No, she's in better shape than I am, I think. She does ballet and stuff.
Okay. So the Orange Theory thing, I only scoff at that because I'm jealous. Like, I'm not a runner.
You see us running in the stupid room?
I tried Orange Theory a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I did, I don't know, like 6 classes. And it's okay. Like, I'm not a great runner.
Okay.
But I would do like 10% incline at like 4 miles an hour. So I'm walking as fast as my legs can humanly walk. And I'm sweating my ass off. And I'm exhausted. So I'm burning calories.
That's good.
But like, running isn't my thing. I just couldn't do it because... You have to be at the class at the specific time. Then they charge you if you don't make it. And my schedule is so fluid that I was like always late or missing classes. I'm like, everyone else is running and I'm walking on an incline. So I look like there's something wrong with me.
I'm going to the one right after this. Right?
Are you? Yeah. Oh, you go in different cities.
Yeah, because that's the other good thing. It's like you can go and I'm traveling all the time. So the class I'm taking today is pretty much the same class I would take in LA if I was home.
That's commitment.
Yeah. Well, it's commitment to not dying.
Well, and maybe to not getting fat.
Yeah, I don't want to get fat. And I want to be able to.
You're gonna die one day.
Like,
I hate to break it to you, even if you do Orange Theory.
No, one day. Dude, I'm getting the Ted Williams. They're gonna freeze me. They're gonna freeze me and bring me back.
That's the only reason I exercise is because I'm like, oh, now I can eat that donut. Like, I don't care if it's good for my heart. I mean, I care, I guess, in the long term. But like, everything revolves around food. So if I ever thought about doing Orange Theory again or committed myself to going to a class on time, it would just be food related.
That's all it is for me. I'm like, I love Girl Scout cookies. That's why I run.
Is that your thing?
Yeah.
What's your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
The coconut, what are those, Samoas?
Yeah. So there's new ones this year.
Oh, did you have the
s'mores one?
The s'mores one, yes.
Like a box of them. Did I bring them to work for you, Gmo? I did.
Top ranked in a row. Number one, Samoas. Number two, new addition this year is those ones.
Okay,
those are the new ones, right?
If there's still any left. So I had to buy a bunch from my niece because I have to.
What?
It's part of being an aunt. You have to buy things. So every time they're selling anything.
Well, at least you don't have stupid boy nieces and nephews.
Oh, no, I have three nephews.
Have to buy stupid popcorn.
Yes.
Who the heck wants popcorn?
Did I bring that in too?
Buckets
I have like 6 bags of shit popcorn that I'm never going
to
eat. But when there's a fundraiser and they call me up, they send me a little Facebook video. They call me Aunt Nay.
Yeah.
Aunt Nay, will you buy popcorn? I'm like, fuck. So you know what I started doing?
What?
I buy it and I wrap it up and I give it back to them for their birthday.
Ah, good idea.
And then they're
filthy
like,
popcorn
they're
back.
Like, God damn it.
Girl Scout cookies. Number one, Samoas. Number two, that new one. Number three, the tagalongs, the one with the peanut butter inside.
Oh, yeah.
Number four, Thin Mints.
I'm not on the Thin Mint train, but I get it.
Which ones am I missing then?
The other peanut butter ones.
What are the other peanut butter
The ones
ones?
That are a cookie with peanut butter in it.
Yeah, that's
oh, well, there's a chocolate one that has peanut butter in it that I'm talking about.
Tagalongs. Yeah, that's
okay, so there's the chocolate and peanut butter ones.
Tagalongs.
And then there's also just like the peanut butter sandwich cookie.
Really?
Almost like a Nutter Butter one.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about those.
Oh, yeah. If I have some, I'm going to... Do you like peanut butter?
Okay.
Yes. I think, because I brought in like 5 boxes of cookies, I think, to work. And if I still have them in there, I'll give them to you because it's going to change your life.
Your kids are getting off a plane in an hour. If I show up with peanut butter cookies,
yeah,
hero.
Totally. So
peanut
I hope
butter
now
cookies and a trip to Alcatraz. I'm like Superman.
Yeah. Did you get your tickets to Alcatraz way in advance?
I got them a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that when I came before I lived here.
Mm-hmm.
I came with my family, my niece and nephews, because I don't have any kids, and we were going to go to Alcatraz. And we got here, and we're like, okay, let's go buy tickets. They're like, oh, sorry, did you buy them 90 days ago? We're like, no.
Yeah.
You're not going to Alcatraz.
Yeah.
I mean, it's intense. I still haven't been. I need to go. So are you going to post on your social media about your Alcatraz trip? Because I think that's really important.
We are. I mean, I'm not a big social media person, but I will for sure.
I noticed because
I get
stalked
on a boat,
you.
I do it. Yeah.
I stalked you on Twitter and I'm like, this guy hasn't.
By the way, I haven't been on Twitter. My password got changed and I can't get, you need a password to get your password. So since January 2nd.
Yeah.
If you're hitting me up on Twitter, I've not been on Twitter since January 2nd because it's a vicious cycle. I cannot get back into my account.
You're locked out.
Yeah.
Won't they email you a code or something?
Try it. Oh, I'll do Jesus. It in front of you right now. It's the most hilarious thing. I've done it like 10 times. No one seems to be able to crack the code.
I know. Why do they make it so hard? I mean, I get it.
I gotta be honest with you. I haven't missed it once.
Oh.
Not okay. once.
I
don't care.
I love Twitter.
I like Instagram and then pictures, this and that, and that's it. I mean, I'm not a big social media person, but...
Well, of course, because I knew I was going to be talking to you, I tried to stalk you on social media, and that's how I learned about your podcast, et cetera. And I saw you guys talked about the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
So, I've been a big Derby horse racing fan for many years. I lived in Vegas for a long time.
Well, I wish you called, because I couldn't get anyone that knew what the hell happened on Saturday that looked any more egregious than any other horse race I've ever watched.
Damn it, I was going to ask you about it, because this is the first year, and I kid you not, probably 15 years, I haven't watched the Derby.
Oh, really?
So, I missed the whole thing. And I don't know what's going on, but I know the president was tweeting about the goddamn Kentucky Derby and how the horse shouldn't have or should have won. And I'm like, is this where we're at in 2019? But I didn't know if you had any opinions on the
horse.
No,
I don't know. I watched the Kentucky Derby we live close to Santa Anita in L.A. when go there once in a while, but you don't really go there because now the horses are all dying. So
how crazy is that?
I don't know. It's like 20 horses have died. It's like a murder mystery happening over in the racetrack.
There's something going on. They need to do like a Dateline NBC
something.
On
oh,
it.
They will too, I'm sure. And if it's untoward, forget it.
So
I'm going to have to move.
Without getting too dramatic, that's part of the reason why I didn't really care to watch the Derby. Because I was so sad. Because I grew up going to Santa Anita.
Yeah.
That's how I got into liking horse racing.
I live really, well, you know, not
pretty close,
25 minutes, yeah.
I mean, I grew up born and raised in L.A. So we'd go out there and spend the whole day there in the infield, and I loved it. And then reading and hearing about these stories about like 20 horses dying in one season, I'm like, is this something that I should really be excited about? And I didn't watch the Derby because I was all sad about it. And I'm like, am I at that age now?
Well, they were
where
like,
I'm all emo about stuff like this?
Yeah, they were psyched about what happened at the Derby because it took the news away from the dead horses.
Right.
It was, I don't know. The guy came out of the lane or whatever, and it was a little sloppy. I don't know. I mean, they're very tight. They're all racing together. But
well, it's kind of like all sports now. It's like there's like instant replay, or was that actually a foul? Or let's die.
Oh, damn. No.
Okay. G-Mo just brought in the cookies.
Oh,
sorry, not to get sidetracked,
gosh.
But this is way more important than us talking about the Derby.
Oh, my God.
G-Mo brought in the Girl Scout cookies that I had in the office. So these are called Do-Si-Dos.
Do-Si-Dos.
Yeah.
This is like those kids at school that are allergic to peanut butter's worst nightmare.
Well, they would die.
They would absolutely.
If you want to kill someone.
They would Do-Si-Dos into the ground.
Blend a box of those cookies into their milkshake.
Man, these look good. These look rich.
So take those to your kids.
Ha ha ha.
And then these are the s'mores that I haven't tried.
What?
I know.
Just
should we do this right now?
Just open up one right now.
Do I have one too?
You just open up one right now.
I'm so excited.
They're my second favorite.
I brought them into work so I wouldn't eat them.
Oh,
I could have left all 5 boxes at my house.
Bro, you got to eat those.
I know.
You got it. Right,
here.
Oh,
there's one for you.
Yeah. Wait. This is really just a glorified, like a lady finger, but.
Okay.
Way better.
Oh, shit.
I mean, this is all on natural flavor.
Yeah.
There's nothing natural about
it. Absolutely. It's all chemicals.
I can taste the smoke from the barbecue, from the fire that the s'mores were made under.
Do you feel like that fluff of the fake marshmallow on your tongue?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I legit feel like I got
a cancer.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm,
like, I feel the cancer.
I'm gonna come down with something.
My tongue. Yep.
Minutes after this podcast.
Full blown mouth cancer. But
I'm worth it. I'm gonna keep it here. Have another one.
100% worth it. 100% worth it.
I'm taking a second bite.
Oh my God.
This is like the worst thing you could do when you're recording something.
And the fact that these girls only sell these cookies for 2 months a year, like crackheads. We're all now. I walk around like a crack. Like, you have, like, in 5 months from now, you could probably get $600 for that bag right there, because people are like, "Wait, I don't know how to get my hands on Girl Scout cookies."
How many boxes did you buy?
There's a girl that lives like three blocks from our house that would do the whole set up a stand. I'm not talking about a lemonade stand. I'm talking about get those tents like you were gonna have. They have at car dealerships for like grand openings.
Yeah.
One of those
massive.
Out there, three Girl Scouts, and they're just boxes. They got them all lined up. Every single kind you want. What do you want? You want five Samoas? Boom.
They cut you a deal. If you buy a case, they give you like one.
Like Henry Hill and Tommy in Goodfellas with the cigarettes out of the back of the trunk.
You know what their parents do? I'm gonna break the secret to you right now, because my mom did this when I was a kid. She would buy cases of them before we actually sold them, and we would continue to just sell them until they were gone, because she wanted us to win the Girl Scout selling competition and send our troop to some camp or something.
Sure, I'll have another one.
Yeah, help yourself. So, because you know people are going to continue to buy these, if especially in 2 months, if no one else has them, because Girl Scout cookie season is over. But
exactly.
My mom bought six cases, so she goes in the back room. She worked at a business where she could actually put them on the counter, and she just continued to sell them for months and months and months. At the normal price, and she'd already bought them from the Girl Scouts, but... I mean, why don't more people do that?
Your mom didn't charge an extra dollar a box?
No, nothing like... Well, here's something really sad.
I would have charged an extra dollar a box.
I would sell the most, because people thought I was like special needs.
Because
I had this really fucked up haircut.
Wait, you're not?
I know. Sorry.
You know, I'm sorry.
It's hard to tell. Let me show you a picture of myself at that age. It's actually just my Twitter handle. But I also had a cross eye because I was little.
Isn't she lovely?
This is so bad.
Cross eye and a special haircut.
So that was...
Hey now!
This is
look
me.
Look at this.
I don't know how old I was. Maybe like four.
Dude, you're still really cute though.
Well, but cute, but in really sad. I had rusty bitching face since
you
I was
did.
Born.
You look pissed off.
That I was mad.
Fierce though. That's like stormtrooper right there.
Do you see the little cowboy hats on my collar?
Oh, those are cute.
Right?
Yep.
I didn't notice those till I don't know, when I was in my 20s and I was looking at
you look hungover too. That's the
I
other
know.
Part.
I think I probably was.
Yeah, it's a four-year-old.
Too many Girl Scout cookies.
Too many.
But I would sell a shit ton of cookies, because imagine this little sad-looking girl coming up and saying...
I cut my bangs to the side like that, and then I would go out and sell Girl Scout cookies and be like, look how fucked up my hair. It's like, I have a lot of issues. Please buy some cookies.
The only reason I had that haircut is because my dad, who had me on the weekends, decided to cut my hair on his own one of those weekends. And, you know, my mom picked me up Sunday night.
Weekend dads making haircuts for themselves, trying to bond with their daughters any way possible.
You know what? If this whole comedy thing doesn't continue to work out for you, you could write jingles.
I could write jingles.
You should incorporate that into your podcast.
Weekend dads.
Can you do a jingle for DK Morning Show on Alt 105.3?
DK Morning Show. She grew up. The swan became... Wait.
That was almost good. All right, start over.
DK Morning Show. The ugly duckling became a swan. She's gorgeous now, but look at her bangs back then.
I'm going to play that on my show next week.
There you go.
That was perfect. And thanks for the kind compliment.
No problem.
Oh, I thought about going back to bangs, and then I look at that photo and I realize...
I thought about eating another Girl Scout cookie, but I'm like, you know what?
You're taking these with you.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
No.
You're giving this box to your kids, and you're probably going to finish this box of s'mores before you even see your kids.
You bought those. You need those, unless your mom's still running that cookie heist that you got going on.
My mom's not hustling cookies anymore.
All right.
These were purchased from my niece.
Okay.
So, you know what? You're a betting man. I'm going to bet that this entire box of s'mores is gone before the end of the day between you and your family.
You would win that bet.
Yeah.
100%.
Do you think both of these boxes can be gone before the end of the day?
No, my wife will work on these, but my boys and I will destroy those Samoa ones.
How many kids do you have?
Two boys.
How old are they?
7 and 10.
Yep, those cookies are gonna be gone.
They don't stand a chance.
Oh man.
Especially if I told them, hey, this lady that gave us these cookies said that we couldn't eat them all in one day. They'd be like, what?
Challenge.
Some lady said I couldn't eat cookies. Are you out of your mind?
I would tell you
I'll eat the box.
I would tell you
that's
to tweet
how they
me
talk.
A picture.
They have terrible voices.
Do they?
Yeah,
way deeper than you?
Way deeper.
Did they get it from their mom?
I don't know
their
where
mom
they got it. All right.
Your show tonight and tomorrow night at Cobb's Comedy Club is going to be fantastic. If you haven't gotten your tickets, do so right now. CobbsComedyClub.com. Steve Ranazzisi, I've loved talking to you this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having cookies with me, too.
Delish.
Cool. That was fun.
Those are awesome.
These really are your cookies.
Oh, God.